There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 3-4. Oh, I'm correcting myself now. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. A reminder, too, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that microphone icon on the front page there, the landing page, whatever the thing is. You'll see the microphone icon. If you press that, unless you record a message, you can email it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, mentioned at the beginning of the show, be joined here starting this hour with a candidate for Secretary of State of Alabama, a voice that is not new to many of y'all. If she is, then y'all say hello to Caroline Dobson. Hey, Caroline.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Got to ask a couple questions now. We are within 2 weeks of Thanksgiving. Are you prepared? You seem like somebody, you strike me as somebody who would like have everything figured out beforehand. I mean, I'm just kind of throwing it to the wind. What about y'all?
Well, I'm glad I'm created that deception. certainly, especially on the campaign trail, day by day adventure, especially with a statewide campaign. But Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, and I think, you know, I love to cook, and so have recipes that have been passed down. That's fun to get. But other than that, you know, I feel like it's about family and fellowship, and football, and hunting, mm-hmm. and faith. You know, and that's what I feel. I think it's so interesting to see kind of in this secularized world, you know, you see people talking about Thanksgiving that are not believers, and you're kind of like, well, who are you thankful to if not to God? And so I think it's interesting, you know, we're, but truly we have so much to be grateful for in this country. And certainly, you know, this time last year was so grateful, even though my election, my congressional election did not have the outcome I hoped for. I was so grateful that President Trump had been elected. And I think, you know, we can see what he's been able to accomplish. He and the Senate and the House been able to accomplish, you know, in just 10 months. And it's been incredible. And so I'm very grateful for that, among, you know, the health of my family and living in a free country and living in a beautiful state like Alabama. So really looking forward to Thanksgiving here in a couple weeks.
You know, last time you were on the show, and that would come as you know, if you win as Secretary of State, the election portion here. Last time I called you up to get a, you know, reaction, what had happened here in Mobile, and mm-hmm. with the runoff, with people not being, you know, showing up and being told that they, you know, were not on the rolls,
inactive.
Inactive there. That, I mean, to me, there's, and we can talk about ideas and policy and those kind of things, but nuts and bolts, X's and O's here. How do you fix that? I mean, it seems like I could do the old cliche. We put a live cam on Mars, you know, showing me pictures, but we can't get this figured out. But there's a little bit of truth to that. Why can't we figure this out?
No, it's a huge concern, and that's only serving to erode the trust that voters have in the system. And so, I mean, the you know, worst case scenario is people feel that, you know, they can't trust the system, so why even engage? And then we have good people whose voices need to be heard who are deciding to sit at home, and that diminishes you know, the ability of us to get good people in office. But no, I mean, it's really inexcusable for anyone to be showing up as inactive when they're not. And that's why I've been advocating for the creation of an election integrity division within the Office of Secretary of State. That would have to be created by the legislature or through legislative action, but similar to Florida has an election crimes unit that they established in 2022, but dedicated individuals when there are issues like this in any type of municipal elections or state, county, federal elections, there are dedicated staff members whose sole purpose is to remediate this. Time is of the essence when it comes to something like this. You know, I think the individuals in question, from what I understand, folks that were marked, arbitrarily marked mm-hmm. as inactive voters, were offered a provisional ballot. You know, again, fortunately, Spiro prevailed, and
The people got their chance.
The vote wasn't close enough, but you know, if that election had been closer, mm-hmm. which it easily could have been, you know, that time is of the essence in ensuring that you, you know, remediate any issues there are. So having a dedicated office would help on that front, as well as investigating allegations of election fraud.
Yeah, and the fraud thing, you know, I think that goes without saying. People are going to be like, yeah, you got to get after that. And municipal elections controlled at a local level, and I'm still for that. I just, almost like a sign-off, like a dry run. So the fraud thing, 100%, but I'm talking about, like what you and I kind of discussed last time, just the nuts and bolts of getting it done. And I'm trying not, because I've never done this for a job, so I realize I'm not going to point fingers without having done it, but it's fair enough to ask, can you run a shakedown here on this before you do it? I mean, if in business, if you'd have done something and failed like this, like, okay, we're going to have a Monday morning meeting and say, and not to just lampoon people, just say, what got screwed up and how do we not do that again? And next time, can we do a, you know, like we used to have in football, shorts and helmets practice on Friday to get ready for the game. I mean, let's do a run through here and make sure this stuff doesn't happen. Maybe I'm being unfair, but I don't think so.
No, and I think there needs to be, again, through legislative action, needs to be some clarity with respect to the role of the Secretary of State in municipal elections. You know, again, as a lifelong adherent to conservative values and limited government, I appreciate that, you know, local municipalities run their own elections. But when there is an issue like this, the degree of authority that the Secretary of State has to step in and fix the problem needs to be clarified, as well as the ability of the Secretary of State to hold, whether it's municipalities or other election officials, local election officials, accountable if there is something, either there's something fraudulent or kind of what you said, a lack of preparation. It varies tremendously throughout the state. Some, very few, but some municipalities, I believe, own their own voting machines. But in many cases, municipalities will borrow or rent voting machines from the probate judge's office. That mm-hmm. only makes sense. It doesn't make sense for, you know, the city of Elba over in Coffee County
right.
to own their own voting machines. When sometimes, you know, there's some cycles they don't even have any contested elections. I mean, they still have an election, I suppose, but if they don't have any contested city council seats or mayor's race, it doesn't make sense for these municipalities to make the investment in voting machines. But making sure, you know, we're the Secretary of State's office is helping clarify, the training when it comes to municipal election workers and also the liability when it comes to voting machines. You know, I've learned that a lot of probate judge employees will help municipal officials kind of set up the poll pads and the voting machines, but understandably, probate judge employees don't want liability if a machine breaks.
Right.
Or, you know, kind of, so there's just a lot of, it can get really in the weeds, but it's incredibly important because this ensures that, our local school board members, our county commissioners, our mayors, our city council members are the individuals that the rightful voters of that particular area have elected. And I think, you know, that's where Democrats tried to get a foothold. I don't see, far left activists or the Democrat Party trying to beat Tommy Tuberville next year.
Right.
They wouldn't stand a chance, but I can see them trying to pick off some city council seats and maybe in Baldwin County or maybe in Madison County. And then eventually, you know, you've got liberal folks holding those seats or you've got liberal folks holding a growing number of state legislative positions. And so that's where we have to be very careful. We have to be very vigilant. And as the next Secretary of State, there's going to be no election that's too insignificant for me not to be hyper-focused on ensuring integrity of that election.
Here's my, throw this in the mix for what it's worth, my crazy private sector idea. A bonus structure for elections to come off without any issue. Like you'd say, listen, if you pull this off, and maybe something like care packages for all the people that volunteer too, the poll workers, but the people that run that get a paycheck, like y'all, if y'all do this and we don't have any problems, there's a bonus check to get it. I mean, here's your incentive to make sure it doesn't screw up.
Well, two things there. First and foremost, we certainly need to do a better job of incentivizing more Election Day volunteers and thanking the ones that have been faithful and often thankless. Public service. That's a way of public service.
How do we drop that? How do we drop that age too? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, God bless the folks that do it and their situation, retired folks. I'd love to see them when I go vote, but we need some young, I'm talking to somebody younger than me. We need some new blood in the mix, Caroline.
Yes. Well, no, that's what, you know, I'm in campaigning. I'm also trying, a lot of people are unaware that these are volunteers, it's all incumbent on all of us to participate on Election Day. A lot of folks think that these poll workers are, especially in bigger municipalities where they don't, you know, where I grew up, I knew who the poll workers and poll watchers
right.
were. They were, you know, my Sunday school teacher and, you know, people you saw in the community, but a lot of bigger municipalities, folks think that they're employed by the Office of Secretary of State. You know, well, the Secretary of State employs less than 40 people. So we need to do a better job of trying to really emphasize the role that all of us need to play. And if we care about election integrity, then, you know, and your job would allow you to be off a day to do that, you know, consider serving. There is a student poll worker program in place, and I would love to continue to emphasize that. But then back to your other point, as far as, you know, a bonus, if the elections go off without a hitch, that's as far as substantiating that's why we need post-election audits. And I understand that Joe Lovern over in the Auburn area is going to be introducing post-election audit legislation this next legislative session. But we need a way of ensuring that we do capture any issues that there might be. And we can only know that when we do have some form of audit system, a cost-efficient, pragmatic form of kind of self-evaluating our elections. Alabama is one of a handful of states that doesn't have any type of post-election audit legislation. I mean, even California, even New York does. So that's also in. But maybe can suggest to Joe Lovern, including in the legislation, some type of reward.
Say, I got this crazy guy.
That it's all clear.
Yeah, say they got this crazy guy in Mobile who thinks if you build a bonus structure in it, people will bust hump a little bit more to make sure. I mean, like, man, I'd like to get that check. Sure, be nice. Let's make sure we don't screw anything up.
Never underestimate positive incentives. As a mother of two young children.
Yes. Believe me, I've run that world too. Like, okay, if y'all don't do it because it's right, what if you do it because you get a little bit of extra cash here? Make them, you know, early capitalists out there. If you're just joining us, talking to Caroline Dobson, running for Secretary of State. I do want to talk about one of the other portions of this job. It's kind of, there's some catch-all to Secretary of State. People think elections, but businesses deal with the businesses in Alabama as well if you're elected to this position. What are we doing now? What can we do better?
Yes. And that's what I think, you know, a lot of folks don't fully appreciate, you know, how all of us are impacted by the ease of and affordability, accessibility of business services in this state. Very, very few people in this state don't have a small business or impacted by small business or have a family member that runs or owns an LLC, even if it's just to own property, or maybe you inherited a boat from a relative or something, and you for liability reasons have formed an LLC. So it's incredibly important that we reduce fees and streamline services when it comes to our small business owners. But then on, you know, kind of a more global level, there's a role for the Secretary of State to play alongside Coach Tuberville's next Secretary of Commerce, alongside our legislature, in really trying to be more proactive in driving more businesses to incorporate in Alabama. We have some amazing success stories, you know, homegrown Alabama businesses that now have national and international realms of influence and business scope. But a lot of them, most of them, are not incorporated in Alabama. And increasingly, Delaware is a blue state and is more antagonistic towards business. New York, certainly, with the mayoral elections earlier this month, you see businesses fleeing New York. So how can Alabama be a really viable alternative? What do we need to do with respect to our business code, to our tax structure, to ensure that we're capturing folks that are disenchanted with Delaware, New York, Coinbase, that platform for trading cryptocurrency, right. I think the largest platform, they posted on X just 2 days ago that they have decided to unincorporate from Delaware. They're reincorporating in Texas. But how can Alabama, with a supermajority Republican supermajority in the legislature with less regulation than even Texas, how can Alabama be poised to really benefit from some folks looking to leave Delaware and New York?
If we just, I mean, this seems comedic, but I'm there's some seriousness to it. What if we copied and pasted what Delaware's done, right? Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid in school in the 80s, we learned Delaware, you know, okay, they did this with their law. This is why there's so many businesses incorporated there. If we copied and pasted that, but put it in our state of Alabama, then you don't have the issues they're having in Delaware with their other politics, but we are presenting the same suite of options that make it, you know, appetizing to headquarter in our state.
Yes, no, and that's why I think we need to be looking at all these, because it's not just Texas, Nevada, South Dakota, Wyoming. All of those states are have positioned themselves and have been really proactive in crafting legislation that really attracts business. So it's blind trust provisions. Some states have a business court, so when there are claims, the basis of a suit are claims revolving around the business code. So not any time a business is sued for a slip and fall, of course, that still goes to state court or federal court. But if there is a claim based on the business code, there's a separate circuit within the judiciary that those cases are heard and the judges are well-versed in the business code. It's a bench trial. Texas has that feature, and that's really attractive. But also, you know, again, some tax structure considerations, licensing considerations. In North Alabama, and spending time talking to some business owners up there, there are a lot of businesses based in North Alabama that incorporate in Tennessee for a variety of reasons. Again, just because Tennessee has been more proactive in trying to attract that business. And we cannot be complacent in Alabama. And, you know, as the next Secretary of State, I really want to work with our legislature to ensure that we're maybe copy and pasting. I think we need to be thoughtful and make sure that we're not just, sort of haphazardly approaching this, but really kind of undertaking a comparative analysis of what these other states are doing and what changes we can make to be more competitive on that front.
Caroline, the website for more information, where do they go?
Yes, DobsonForAlabama.com. We're also on social media, DobsonForAL.
Hey, thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. If I don't talk to you before, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Coming right back for Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Remember, put your picks in. I just walked back to my office, just started that process. If you're in the college pick'em, I think I'm in a 940-way tie for 39th place, but I think there's like seven of us. But I'm going to pull away from the pack this weekend. I'll make sure to get your picks in so I can beat you again this weekend, except for the 50 or 60 people ahead of me. But other than that, I'm doing great. Also, what are y'all doing this weekend? I saw this from Michael on the text line, said, hey, we're getting to represent Mobile this weekend in Gadsden for the State Cup of Recreational League Soccer. Hopefully, we'll be bringing back the trophy as the best U-10 rec league soccer club in the state. Nakaluga? Is it N-A-C? I want to say Nakaluga. I said, I don't know where that is. Falls in the itinerary. Oh, to go by and see their Christmas lights display. So Mike, I didn't know you were a footballer, right? A soccer guy. Okay. All right. Jerry has this running discussion. I guess I'm proud to say I have no idea. I guess from my cat house discussion earlier, said probably need to mention the famous Shady Banks Motel on Highway 90 back in the day. They never needed donations. When it shut down after Hurricane Frederick in 1979, the owners posted a sign saying, we are closed, and beat it. I guess proud to say I had no familiarity with that, but Jerry seems to.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. It's a good time to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Ron, we talked some precious metals prices, and I don't know, you've taught me so many things over the years. I'm looking here. Let me open. I think I even took the app off my phone where I track my crypto. It's been a bad few days for crypto, and it seems like thank God there's a hedge there. Oh my gosh, I just opened it. I shouldn't have done that. That's even worse. but gold prices, I mean, they continue to hold steady and climb. I mean, over just a year's time, gold has been huge.
It has, and silver hasn't been too bad either. Right. I mean, silver's been a nice younger brother to gold there, following in its footsteps. So both gold and silver, long-term, I always look at it as a hedge and help protect your cash and help protect your stock and your Bitcoin or whatever kind of crypto you have. Can't have all your eggs in one basket, although I'm still, to this day, meet lots of people that have it all in one basket. And, of course, you can get lucky, and more often you can get unlucky and then, of course, lose a lot or all of your assets. So it's good to break it up and make sure you have some kind of precious metals as a hedge to help offset any losses in the dollar, stock market, and other things that might pop up.
Yeah, it's for sure. And you've always talked about that, a measured way, which I appreciate. It is a hedge. It's part of a portfolio. But it is the MVP right now for 2025 out of your your players. You're like, all right, who's going to get the Heisman? It's going to be precious metals. Beyond gold and silver, too, you got me interested a couple of years ago in platinum and palladium because you explained to me how they're used, and my utilitarian brain went, okay, now I get it. How are they doing?
They've been doing fine. They haven't been doing as well as gold and silver just because mainly silver is used a lot in industrial as well as jewelry, but I mean, it's used all over the place, especially with AI taking off and chip and the new chip processing that NVIDIA and all those guys, they consume a lot of silver that's gone forever. So it actually deplenishes the supply and helps the price go up. And they've, large companies have been buying a lot because with the prices going up, they're trying to hedge themselves and lock it in before it gets, $60, $70, whatever the forecaster's saying it might be. So a lot of people, big people with deep pockets and businesses have been jumping in, and that's been pushing silver up too. So silver over the last 6 weeks has outperformed gold, by quite a bit. So it's good to have a little bit of both metals, but I have platinum and palladium, but they have not performed as well, but they are still up about 5% on the year.
It's funny to think about the big companies buying in for precious metals, and you get you could time travel, like with the Jamie Dimon in the past, like, that's not return. That's not anything we're interested in. And you fast forward and they're like, so we're acquiring large amounts of precious metals as part of our portfolios. You're like, hey, Jamie, what happened? What changed?
Yep. Banks used to not do it at all. Now they all do it to help protect any fiduciary responsibility they have with protecting their clients' assets. So more and more of the larger companies are getting into it, which, of course, helps drive prices up.
Absolutely. All right. Also, options for somebody for buying this as gifts. People often get an idea, okay, I'm going to go down to Mobile Bay Coins and I'm going to have to buy, gold bars. But you sell gold in all different, and silver and the others in different sizes.
Yeah, it's almost endless, different sizes, different bars, anything from 1 gram all the way up to 1,000 ounces on silver and on gold from 0.5 gram. The largest we like to sell here in the shop on gold is 10-ounce bars. Anything larger, they can be faked. They can be drilled out by unscrupulous people filled with tungsten, and, of course, somebody doesn't want to find out they invest $40,000 in a bar and it's only worth 10 or 20. So be careful what you're buying. Make sure you take it somewhere reputable to have it tested, and make sure you're dealing with somebody reputable, whether you're buying or selling.
All right. Talk to folks about coming in and getting an education, checking out gift items or just investment items with you.
Yeah. We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com, or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. Have a great weekend. There he goes, Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Why did I even do that? Why did I open it up, my app here? Oh, gosh, I think I have a, you know, I'm a contrarian, so I have purchases built in on the drop. I don't know. The Bitcoin thing has been, what we call it? I'm diamond hands. I've got diamond hands myself into a big loss here on this thing. Why did I even open that up? The best thing to do is not open up. Don't look at the investments all the time, right? But I just did. It's been a rough week for Bitcoin. Been a rough couple weeks for Bitcoin. But you know what? Positive. Hold on to it. It's going to come back. You buy it at a discount here. Although I wish I'd have bought it at a discount. Actually, Dalton, can you come in here? Can you come in here? Because this way it will be official, because Dalton will be talking to me about this, because he remembers the days. I'm going to tell him myself here, Dalton, in this segment. So as a witness to those days, ladies and gentlemen, star of Mobile Mornings and occasionally contestant in the College Pick'em Challenge, Dalton Norway. There he is.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. You also forgot Tony Award winner.
You are. And Grammy.
And Grammy, yeah.
I don't know, but Tony's here for like,
aren't they stage?
Plays or something,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I've never been on stage. So that was a lie.
Pick out the lie, pick out the real thing. Okay, on this one, do you remember years ago, many years, a decade ago, where I go, well, I think Bitcoin had gotten up around 28,000 or 30, and I went, well, listen, it's way overpriced now. Yeah. I mean, I had to get in early, and I was like, man, I didn't know what it didn't seem. Then it got up in the 20,000, and I'm like, oh, just wait, because mm-hmm. I'm always, you know, I'm a contrarian, so when things are going up, I don't want to get involved with them.
Yeah, you were feeling the great Bitcoin crash of 2014, right around the corner, right. 2015.
And I was like, that's when you buy. Yeah. And I said, Dalton, I'm telling myself, y'all, it's way overpriced. It is so overpriced now, and I'm walking and telling myself this stuff, and then I don't pay attention to it for like a month or half a year or something. And then it's like at 70,000. I'm like, well, I missed that one.
Yeah.
And then you start buying it at 70s and 80, and then you're like, okay. And then it goes up to like 123,000. And now it's back, I don't even want to check it.
But how far has it fallen?
It's fallen today, a whole bunch, at 95,000.
Okay.
95,000 per Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that long ago. It was, you know, 122, 123, something like that.
I'm sure you're licking your chops again now that
I am, but I have these, you know, the buys set in, but I'm thinking of stopping that because I don't know if it's, I'm thinking Tom Petty's free falling here. I don't know. I mean, it's been as low as 70, 79, 76, something like that this year, but it's been as high as 122, 123 were the highs, and that wasn't too long ago.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I'd freak out about it, and I'm not a financial advisor.
And nor am I. I'm just a goofball that has gotten lucky a few times. Believe me, y'all, we're not giving you any advice.
Don't take my advice, especially. Take Sean's before you take mine. But I hear the president has a lot wrapped up in the whole crypto world, and if he sees this going on, we know how he likes to kind of chime in and
really
and make things go the other way. So maybe expect some kind of an announcement or something from him, just to kind of slow down the bleeding at the very least.
I'm trying to make my way. I'm going to send you the link because, you know, in the middle of watching college football over the weekend, I want you to listen to this long arsed podcast that my brother-in-law, who is a financial genius, has made his career.
He's
doing this.
One of these guys that uses more than one screen.
His office. May I send this to him? Or he might be listening. He's probably not listening. It's trading day. He doesn't listen to anybody. So it's an entire wall of screens. And I've told Dalton about this. He, I would come to it and I'd be standing down there. They live in Miami. And I'll say, like, hey, what do you think about such and such stock? Right. So I'm thinking of equities. I'm thinking, you know, I like this one because I think they're going to do more of this. And I bought, you know, oil and gas stocks. And you ask, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, how do you do it? He says, I don't know what they make. He's one of these guys that watches, like, y'all, I mean, big brain on this guy. He watches how the stocks act in charts, and the charts tell him, and y'all are going to say this is like a charlatan. He's been keeping my sister sleeping in silk sheets for decades. So, and he watches how it behaves. And then he said, okay, you see when it does this and this, and then it's going to do this. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm thinking this company makes this widget. This widget's going to be popular, and then people will buy them, and the stock price will go up. He said, I don't know. I don't even know what this company makes.
And, you know, it's I'm sure whatever his genius mind and many that are like him, I'm sure that works. But that's also the easiest way to let people think you know what you're talking about. But and I see that so often on Twitter.
If he'd been doing it for a year, it'd be one thing. But the guy's been doing like 20. I mean,
from what you've been telling about him for years, I know he knows his stuff. But you look on Twitter, and there's people that share these charts, and they have these little. They've made their own little keys, and they
and
show,
it's going to do a breakout or whatever.
Well, look, this one did this, so we're about to hit this. And you go, yeah. Well, where'd you go to school? How do you know this?
Right. The safety net I have is that I know I'm an idiot when it comes to mathematics. I have, I think, a good gut sense of human nature, but mathematics is of a... he'd say, well, it behaves this way. I mean, like, he goes back and he'd get frustrated. I showed you five times. See how it behaves that way? I'm like, I don't see it behaving a certain way. And he said, it goes to the next level. But I'm going to send you the podcast he had sent me the other day, and this is the whole discussion. He was explaining to me before how he thinks this administration is so pro-crypto because somehow, I'm going to send you this, that we're going to use crypto to deal with our debt in this nation. I don't know how. I don't know what kind of alchemy we're talking about, and they're trying to get into it in this, but to somehow take the U.S. debt, do something with crypto and the U.S. debt to try to deal with, instead of having to, I don't know, spend less, that we could do something with crypto that somehow tokenizes our debt, or I don't know.
Well, what are we going to make? Some kind of like a meme coin, like an American meme coin, and then rug pull the rest of the world? Yeah. Come on, France.
Jump in.
Come on,
China.
Come on, Vietnam. Get some of these countries to buy big. Hey, this is our new meme coin.
Pump and dump a meme coin.
Yeah, we pull it out from under them. I don't even know how the rug pull works. I know a lot of people say that.
So we get them all in. We'll call it Sam coin or something like that, Uncle Sam coin or America coin.
I guess Trump coin's taken, right?
I think he already has that, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So we get America coin, get them all to buy in. But who do we sell to? How do we dump everything at one time? See, I figure that out.
Yeah. Well, that's for smarter minds to figure out. We're just the idea guys.
Yeah, that's right. We do this and then y'all put it into action.
Kind of similar. And I hate to drag you into this conversation. Dan and I were having it this morning.
Bitcoin dropped again.
Oh, boy. Well, some people, you know, if they've put too much into the crypto and they lose everything, not only will real wives leave them, but their artificial intelligence paramours.
So I heard y'all talking about that this morning, and that they're not leading, but a rising sector for divorces is that people are having a relationship with AI girlfriend, boyfriend.
In more and more divorce filings, people are mentioning it as maybe not always the only cause for the divorce, but as a part of the reason.
I like to do it the old-fashioned way. I like to get divorced because of just human beings not getting along with other human beings.
Yeah, I mean,
I hated to bring any kind of
if that's tech into it. And they're reading, you know, what your wife said about you and the AI. Is that just not the most embarrassing thing? I guess for some it isn't, but you're sitting there like, oh boy, she's telling everybody that I'm talking to my AI girlfriend for hours on end into the night. But I've seen posts where...
This goes back to like the things I didn't understand, the NFTs, when I said I don't understand how it worked, and it fell apart. Like I didn't get excited about it because I didn't understand the value in it. I don't understand the value, and I'm going to tell on myself here, but the AI girlfriend, because AI girlfriend never shows up at your house on a Friday night.
I was going to say, where's the
payoff
it's
here?
It's the discussion. It's the nice...
I'm such a guy.
Because I guess these people are lonely enough, or they've feel that they can connect with this thing that's just a thing. It's, you know, AI. But for me, that's the part I don't like, the communication part of it.
Right.
Not to tell on myself, less talking. I'm fine with that. I'm fine sitting in a room, but and I like having good conversations, get into real deep stuff. But if I'm just looking and talking into my phone.
You're saying that's your girlfriend, but you're never... I know y'all talked about the robot stuff all creep me out. But I mean, but just the people that have the AI relationship, I don't get that. Number one, personality disorder of mine, people that agree all the time, boring, get done with. And number two here is, listen, I remember as a young man talking on the phone. We had a long cord in the kitchen. I could get the whole way in the living room and talking to the girls when I was young till I had my ear had been swollen and disfigured.
Yeah.
But it was a chance that, I was going to get to see her in the real world, not just every night talk to...
many relationships, even when it is human and human, so many people have online relationships, and they begin, especially if they're younger.
But if it's platonic, that's cool. You're like, it's two people like the same thing. Y'all both like fishing or whatever. You talk about it. That's cool. But they're talking about girlfriend, boyfriends y'all were talking about.
But a person may be able to convince themselves that that kind of a relationship isn't a whole lot more different than when they were talking to some other unknown real person on the other end of the text thread. But it's ironic to me that Elon Musk, if you look at Grok and what he's doing there compared to some of these other ones.
Is Grok going to win?
Well, I don't know about the overall race, but in the race I think they each have a certain corner, a market they're trying to corner, and in multiple markets. If you look at what Elon's doing, he is going to try to corner the girlfriend, boyfriend, AI market. I think that's what he's going for. Creepy. And at the same time, his public persona, and I think is probably what
he
really believes.
How many children is he up to?
Yeah, is the birth rate crashing, not just in the U.S., but the West. It's a weird age we're headed into and are in.
Well, okay, but we'll see I am interested long-term to see if the multiple AI platforms come out that are out there, and more will come out and they'll compete. Will they end up synergizing into one, or will it be like these people like sports cars? There'd be an AI that's for sports cars. I'm a truck guy. This is the AI for, it doesn't have to be for trucks, but like people bond to this AI that use it a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't need a car that goes like as fast as a McLaren, but I need something that pulls heavy stuff. Somebody else wants to go fast. Somebody wants to do this. Somebody wants a sedan. Will there be the sedan of the AI world, where there be the Corolla of the AI world?
I think they're already kind of putting themselves in certain corners based on, I think.
What's the brand? I don't know enough to look at it and go, what's that AI's brand?
I think Grok is probably best because it has Twitter, best at current events and telling you what's going on kind of in the moment. And, he has this Grokopedia thing too, which I haven't even checked out. But I think
I would have picked a better name, but go ahead.
The OpenAI, ChatGPT stuff seems to be better at writing things, taking things and turning it into something new. And then Perplexity, I guess, which I haven't used as much, seems more like a deep research kind of thing, where it's really good at looking into. And I think they're all good at all of that, but their specialties seems to be kind of falling into place.
So it is doing that. It is kind of like...
That's how I feel. I might be completely off on it. I'm just trying to figure out if one of my daughters, God forbid, has an AI boyfriend,
who do you beat up?
How do I clean a gun in front of it? I guess
send them a video, but then you'll be deplatformed if you send a YouTube video of a gun.
So. I guess so. I just have to throw it all away, I think.
All right. None of the advice or non-advice we just gave you is worth a hell of a bean, so don't do anything with it. But come right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 156, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And thank you, Michael. Yeah, so I guess he had a voice to text. And so he corrected it with a text to text. Nakalula Falls. I know where that is, near Gadsden. It's pretty. I haven't ever done the Christmas thing there. Makes me want to go to Little River Canyon, though, for sure. All right. Let's see this from U-Haul Man. Say, good afternoon, Sean. Just wondering if you've seen the new ABC liquor distribution warehouses that have recently been constructed in Baldwin County. I have not seen them, U-Haul Man. We discussed them here on the show. I've not seen them. So the building in Orange Beach on Canal Road has absolutely beautiful view of Wolf Bay. Probably really cheap property. Is that where they put it? With a waterfront view? Great. Way to go, ABC. U-Haul Man, I've already stay on a warpath with them. Said thanks for everything y'all do. Let's see. B-Dark says, I got all the pennies you want for 2 cents each. You strike a deal there, B-Dark. And say, can an AI friend... Oh, I'm not going to read that. Come on. That's... Come on, B-Dark. Trey says, South Park has an episode with AI. It's pretty funny. Pull it up. Watch it sometime. I think I've probably seen that. I've seen so little of any other TV shows and movies. My percentage of South Park episodes is pretty strong. Let's see. This from Matt. So just turned us on? No, you turned the radio on. Okay. But if you listen to the Elon Rogan podcast from a couple weeks ago, towards the end of it, they get into AI and what he's trying to accomplish. I did hear that, but I was on the tractor, so I didn't pay as much attention, but I did hear that one. All right, Paul Feinbaum taking over next. We'll do it again tomorrow morning. Mike Ward and I will have FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Check it out here, and I'll see you again next week.